Well, good morning, everyone. Let's stand for a moment, please. Let's give our Savior a round of applause this morning, please. Amen. Truly, He alone is worthy to be praised. Now, you may be seated. I'm going to ask you to find with me Judges, the 16th chapter. We're going to be starting around verse 22 today, okay? Verse 22. We're not going to be in that verse for a little bit, but we have some things that we want to say as we lay the groundwork for the verses that will follow after verse 22. Title of the message is, The Hair Begin to Grow, okay? For some of us that are sort of follically challenged, that may be good news. I teased Matt about that title, but he didn't seem like he liked the teasing so well. Well, this is the final message in our series, we've entitled Slow Fade. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at one of the most frustrating characters in the entire Bible, a guy by the name of Samson. And what we see about Samson is he was this guy that was given a lot by God. At his birth, he was called by God, set aside by God to do some special things. He was empowered with this great strength. I mean, just supernatural strength. And the amazing thing about his strength, he didn't look the part because the Philistines would look at him. They didn't realize, man, this guy should be able to do what he's doing physically. No, they looked at him and they couldn't figure out what was going on, why he was so strong. That was because God had empowered him, and he was supposed to help the Israelites be free from the oppression of the Philistines. Those are the bad guys. And even though he was given all these great things, the sad reality is that he's just like so many of us. He really wasted his opportunities. He just blew it. And so today, let's be honest. All of us have blown it in some way or the other in our life, haven't we? We've messed up. We've just totally lost perspective on what's right and wrong, and we've chose probably do things that that we dreadfully regret. And so he is a lot like us. We mess up again and again. And what we said, that this incredibly strong guy, this unbelievably strong guy who's just like us, he had this dangerously weak will. And again, he broke his vows to God, what he had promised that he would not do, he did do. He went after chasing after the wrong women. He touched things that he was not supposed to touch. And he drank things that he was not supposed to drink. And then he ends up, last week as we looked, getting this really, really bad haircut. I mean, it wasn't just the army haircut where they go and do it high and tight. No, he lost all his hair. We also discovered this about Samson. He was emotional. Now, guys like to think that we're not emotional, but what we've discovered, he is just like us. We are just like him. We are emotionally driven. We're not spirit-led, and we let our emotions get the best of us. We let anger is sort of our default emotion. We discovered also that pride is another default emotion in us, and when we do that, instead of letting the Spirit lead us, it really leads to some very, very bad things. And last week, we looked at the simple fact that Samson didn't run his life all at once. It was 56,000 steps that he took from one place to the other to destroy his life, to bring him to a place where there really wasn't much of a return at all. He run his life step by step, just like many of us here do today. We just don't wake up one day and suddenly find out we're an alcoholic. We don't wake up suddenly one day and we found that we're in the midst of an affair. We don't wake up one day and we suddenly find out that our kids no longer want to be around us. Just like him, we are just like him, step by step, piece by piece, we pretty much destroy our lives one step at a time. Well, this week, we're going to pick up the story, and this may sound really sad, and it is really sad, folks. And so as a preacher of the gospel, as a pastor that has the passion to present the word, you know, I can't sugarcoat things. I can't get around things. I have to present them as they are. He's this prisoner. He's been blinded, and we talked about they just didn't surgically take his eyes out. They probably inserted their fingers behind his eye sockets and pulled his eyes out. So he's a prisoner. He's in the chains. He's grinding on the mill wheel. And that mill wheel, by the way, was designed for ox. It wasn't designed for a human being. And hour after hour, day after day, moment after moment, everybody's mocking him. They're looking at him. They're saying, you know what? What an idiot. What a fool. He's worthless. The only good thing about him is that we've got him here and we can just make fun of him now. And when you think about it, Samson just could not have gotten any lower. Now let's pause for a moment. You ever feel that way after you've blown it? Huh? Just feel like, man, I can't get any lower. I couldn't have been any more stupid. I can't believe I gave back into that. So that raises the question, what do we do when we realize that we've blown it, that we've really screwed up, that we've really just thrown all the good things in life away because we talked about 20 years that Samson had that apparently he did pretty good. What do you do? What do you do when you realize you've wasted your years? What do you do when you realize you've wasted the gifts that God has given you? When you've done things that you simply can't undo, when you've hurt people that you've loved, when you've embarrassed by your own actions, and you didn't do what God wanted you to do, what you're not doing what God created you to do, well, let me talk to the guys for a moment here. So all the guys looking up here at me, listen to me very carefully. We take that kind of failure very, very seriously. We do. Because men and women see things differently. We feel things differently. We have different values. For example, ladies, now I'm talking to you. Your values are around relationships. Girls will say things like this, and by girls I mean the female gender, okay? They'll say things like, I wonder if she likes me. Huh? I wonder if she likes me. She's going to be my friend. Are you my friend? Can we talk? Can we go out to lunch? Can we do those kind of things? You took 72 seconds to text me back. Does that mean that you really don't want to talk to me? Now, for most women, life is very relational. I mean, think about it. And this is sort of tongue-in-cheek, but the reality is, if there are several couples at a restaurant, one lady will say, I need to go to the restroom. And then three others will volunteer to go with her, won't they? Oh, I can't let her go by herself. But Jerome, you and I are out at the restaurant, and I say, hey, I got to go to the can. You're not going to say, hey, I need to go with him. And I'm not going to say it if you do. If I say it, I lose my man card, right? I mean, that's a reality. It's because men and women are just different. For women, it's relational. For men, it goes beyond that. It's about accomplishments. Here's what we say, guys. Listen back to me very carefully. We want to know, do we measure up? Don't we? That's why we keep score. We keep score over trifle things, by the way. Did I do good? If you're on a team, you want to know, did we win? Did we conquer? Yeah, I want to be liked. That's all right. That's sort of important to me and probably important to a lot of guys here today. But can I just tell you, guys and gals, we would much rather be respected. We do. We want to be respected. In fact, if you survey, and they've done surveys on this, if you asked women whether they would rather to be loved or whether they would rather be respected, she will almost say to 100% thing, I would rather be loved. But if you ask a guy here today, any of the guys sitting here today, would you rather be loved or would you rather be respected? He will almost say, man, I want to be respected. That's what I want to be. I want to be respected. Because with men, it's not about the relationship. It's about how. It's not about how do you like me. It's not about do you, those kind of things. It's this. Do you respect me? So ladies, here's a free note for you this morning. You want to see your husband shine? Respect him. Make a big difference in his life. Respect him. You say, well, you don't know Pastor Mark. He's not very respectable. That's all right. You chose him. You live with it. That's right. So, fact is, we all fail. And when we lose respect, guys, we take it personally. And that when we really have messed up, we feel like we're never going to recover from it. So let me show you something here on the screen. I think this is coming up on the screen. It's in your notes. Here it is, sort of defining what we've done in this introduction so far. A man's greatest fear is failure. That's your write-in today. And also, a man's greatest pain is regret. I don't keep track of the funerals that I do, but I can tell you this. I've done a lot of funerals. And amazingly enough, it's not about what people have done in life, it's what they have not done in life that they really regret. They really feel really bad about. Our greatest fear is we don't want to fail. We want to measure up. We want to be successful. We want to live up to what the expectations or even exceed them beyond what people are expecting of us. So our greatest pain is regret. I wish I had not done that. Have you ever said that in your life? I wish I had not done this, or I wish I had done that. Maybe an omission of something. Should I have? Or what did I, was I thinking? Those kind of things come across our mind when we have regret. The fact is, many of us here are going to face failure. Now, let's just look at us. We're all here today, and the laws of average says this. There are going to be affairs out there today. The laws of average say that there are going to be marriages that are broken up today. That's what the laws of average say to us. Maybe one day you're going to look back at a failed marriage. And you're going to realize, you know what? Mostly it was my fault. I didn't do what I should have done. I could have made it work, but I thought, well, I'm not going to. I'm going to give up on it. You didn't. And now you're at the end of your life and you really regret it. It stinks. By the way, don't expect a pastor to fix that. It just won't happen. Could have made it work, chose not to. You know what else I see? Guys, especially guys. One day, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, your kids are going to look back at you and they'll desire no relationship with you. They won't want to talk to you. Maybe you chose two or three Christmases not to show up, to show around. Maybe work was more important to you than them. And you wake up, you're old, you're feeble. You have no relationship with your children. Are there guys out there right now, and gals for that matter, maybe you just didn't do the right thing in a good relationship. Maybe that relationship didn't materialize. Maybe you didn't treat the person right. You could have treated her better, done better, those kind of things. You were selfish, and now you're alone. You look back on it. It doesn't matter how many conquests that you had. It still won't make up for the regret that you have for losing that person. What about your career path? It's important, friends. It's very important. You do something all your life that you feel that's beneath you. You feel, you know, I'm living from paycheck to paycheck, and you look at other people, they seem at least somewhat happy in what they do, and you're wondering, you know, why am I so miserable? Well, it's because you failed. Have you not repented from it? It may not be an outward failure. It may be something inward. Some of you here today, you've promised God something. You've not lived up to it. You say, God, I'll never do that again. Or maybe you made a promise to yourself, I'll never do that again. You made those promises. You look back. You realize you made it on a Sunday. By Thursday, you're back at the same old thing. So what does Samson's story teach us about all this? It teaches us something that we have to embrace. It teaches us something that we have to internalize, we have to live with. And this principle is very simple. And I want us all to get this morning. Just because you failed at something, I want you to understand this. This sounds like a bad picture I've painted, but I want you to understand, doesn't mean that you're a failure. Here's the fact this morning, going to be on the screen. A failure is an event. It is never a person. Okay, now everyone looking up at the screen here this morning. On three, I want us to say that together. One, two, three. A failure is an event, never a person. Okay. Now we're going to see in Samson's life this guy who failed. Just like you and I. A lot of potential, a lot of God-given gifts. Over and over again, he blew it. And when it looked like he had just failed too often for God to do anything about, that God could not love him anymore, he could not be used again by God, we're going to watch and see that God still uses him to accomplish his purpose. God still uses a man, God still uses a woman that is willing to turn from what they've done wrong. He can and he will. See, God is looking at you. And in his eyes, just because you're down, you're not out. That's good news. Just because you are down right now, or maybe potentially heading down, you're not out. Now, I ask you to hold verse 22 in that 16th chapter. This is an important verse. This is where we base our title from. Samson's in chains. He's grinding the grain for the Philistines, just like a pack animal, being ridiculed. Couldn't get any worse. Look at verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 22. Here's what it says. However, the hair of his head began to grow after it was shaven. Now may God bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of his word today. See, after you've blown it big time, when you feel that there's no hope for recovery or undoing what's been done, God's Spirit is still working you. Some of us need to begin to realize that just because we have blown it, we seem like we've thrown it all away, that God is still there. You know what he did? He reached up to the top of his head and he felt something that had been taken away was coming back. And that's the point this morning. Something that has been taken away from your life right now can be returned to your life if you're willing to repent and turn toward God. Now look at verse 23 as we watch this story unfold. Not a pretty picture. Now the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." Now, this place where they gathered, I've seen places in Rome that probably are very similar to this. It's a huge Colosseum. It's a big open area, sort of a rooftop over it as well to cover from sunlight and things of that nature, the elements. And this huge flat roof, over this temple, there were about 3,000 people on top of the roof alone. This is not even mentioning how many people were down in the floor area. So this is a huge building. And here the scene is they're worshiping Dagon, which is their idol. Now, interesting enough that the Philistines were sort of maritime people. They were big sailors. And so it sort of makes sense that they would have a god that sort of represented that. This god, Dagon, I didn't dig up a picture of him, but if I would show you a picture of what he looked like, he was had the head of a man and the body of a fish, I guess the precursor to the man-made or mermaid. So they're worshiping this man-fish god that any of us here would recognize that's not a god. They're making sacrifices to him, and they're making praises to this man-fish god, and they're saying, "Hey, man-fish god, thanks for letting us capture Samson." Look at verse 24. "And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, 'Our God has delivered into our hand our enemy, the destroyer of our land, who has multiplied our dead.'" Remember back a few weeks ago as we looked at his life, he took 150 pair of foxes, tied their tails together, put torches on their tails, and sent them out into the fields of the Philistines, destroying their crops. They hadn't forgot about that. Samson's anger got the best of them. And now it's payday. They're doing something he probably shouldn't have done. They're remembering this guy that took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 of their warriors. This is the guy that not only laid waste our land, he killed our warriors. But our man fish god, Dagon, well, he's delivered him to our hand. In fact, our God is stronger than Samson's God because we have Samson here right now making sport of him. Look at verse 25. So it happened when their hearts were merry. By the way, that's a euphemism that they were drunk. They said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson for the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between two pillars. Now, when it says that he performed, it didn't mean that Samson got up and did the little song and dances there in front of them. What it means is that this wasn't the Philistine idol program going on, you know, like we have American Idol, watching that. No, this wasn't Samson performing to try to get Simon Cowell to say, you know what, you're not so bad. No, this was Samson standing in front of them in chains while they laughed at him, they made fun of him, and it's truly the ultimate low point of his life. And we go back to this: a man's greatest fear is failure. And here Samson's totally ashamed. Now, guys, let's be honest. There's some failures probably in your life that you really, really regret. Maybe it happened this morning. Maybe it happened last week. Maybe it was 2 years ago. I don't know. But you know. There's something that brought to your mind that you realized, man, it was that moment, I really blew it. And I just haven't gotten over it. See, there's two possible things that can happen here. One's the natural response that we have in us that's not really all that good. See, the natural response that happens to any of us when we fail, whether you're man or woman, is remorse. Man, I regret that. Man, I wish I could go back and undo that. Remorse is not a good thing, by the way. It really, really is not. I feel bad about what I did. I shouldn't have done it. I really regret it. The Bible calls that kind of sorrow worldly sorrow. Sometimes remorse will turn inward. You'll say things like, I'm the bad person. I'm horrible. I'm no good. You don't even need to be around me. Don't look at me, those kind of things. I have no future. I hate myself. I hate my life. Other times it will turn inward, and you kind of think that you're the victim. I'm the victim here. It's somebody else's fault. This wouldn't have happened if they hadn't done this. Or if they would have asked me, I would have told them to do something different. You know, Samson could have looked and said, you know what, Delilah, that was my big downfall. He could have said, you know what, I should have never friended her on Facebook. Bad choice. Then we got to going back and forth, and before I know it, I was in bed with her. See, when remorse turns outward, we look for somebody to blame. When it turns inward, we blame ourselves. So some of you probably remember one thing that we said last week about Delilah in verse 16 of last week. Said that she nagged him. And we sort of use that as an excuse to give in to our wives, to give in to the women around us. Listen, don't let nagging cause you to do something that you're going to regret. Amen? She nagged him. And our first response is failure. And we either turn it inward or outward, but there's a better response. And here's what I want you to see. The natural response is remorse, but the better response is repentance. With repentance, we start by admitting we blew it. We don't blame anybody else. We say it's my own fault. I goofed up. And we just don't stop there. It's just not enough to say, I blew it. You have to go and say, I didn't do what God wanted me to do, and I'm sorry about it. Excuse me. I'm not only turning away from the wrong, but I'm turning to what's right. That's what repentance actually means, by the way. Remember from last week, most of us don't run our lives one big incident at a time. We do it one step at a time. We talked about 56,000 steps to get to that bad place. Well, maybe right now this morning you're on 55,999 step, and the next step you take, you're going to be in a predicament just like Samson. What do? You turn around. You stop. You don't. You go the other direction. That's what repentance is. Remorse focuses on the bad. It looks bad. I did the wrong thing. I'm really goofed up, you know, and somebody really caused me to do that. I tell you what, I've blamed people for a couple bad instances in my life. Things where I blew it, where I lost my temper, and I've verbally said things that I had to go back. My father-in-law came to me and said, "Mark, you know what? God's going to use you, but he's not going to use you till you go back and set things right and apologize for what you said." Wouldn't listen to my wife. Wouldn't trust her. She said, "Mark, you don't need to go there. You don't need to do it. You're upset. You're angry." She was absolutely right. And what did I do? I went there and I blew it. But I'm here today. Why? Because I repented of it. It was a game changer. For some of you here this morning, you really need that game changer in your life. See, repentance turns from the lower, and it turns toward the higher. It turns from the lower sinful ways, it turns to God's higher ways. It's just not, "I feel bad about this." It's turning toward God and saying, "God can and will make a difference in my life." See, all of us, we're going to do some things in life that we just can't undo. For example, we can look back on our life and we think, "Well, I blew it. I got angry," as I talked about my own personal experience. Maybe they didn't have the whole story when you blew it, and if you knew the whole story, you wouldn't have blown it, but nonetheless, you still went ahead and blew it. What about there's just some actions you can't undo? You can't unsend that email that you sent. You can't unsay the things that you sent. But listen, there's one thing that you can do. You can repent. There's things that you cannot unsay. There's things that everything can be repented of. See, some of you at some point need to come to this realization. I blew it. I'm going to repent from it. I can't unsleep with the person that I've just slept with, but you can repent from it. Again, repentance just doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means I admit I shouldn't have done it, and I'm turning toward God. We need to take that very, very seriously. And believe me, Samson came to the point in his life where he genuinely repented. I see that. It wasn't just remorse, but it was repentance. I believe Samson remembered. When he reached up on the top of his head and began to feel that hair begin to grow again, he realized he wasn't created for the entertaining purposes of the Philistines. He realized that he was in this temple of this man-fish god, but God had set him apart, set him aside to do something significant, to be used of God, to do something, to make a difference for eternity. Just not for himself, but for eternity. Not to have this life that was wasted. So I think Samson, he just simply realized what all of us in this room need to realize, and that most of us often forget, is that God can and will forgive us. You were created for a wonderful purpose. A wonderful purpose God has in store for you. So I hope your spiritual enemy, and all of us have this spiritual enemy, and he's going around like a lion, seeking who he may devour. And right now he's telling you, he's probably sitting right in the pew next to you. This is you. He's whispering in your ear. He's saying, "If anybody knew it, they won't love you. If you tell somebody you did that, they're going to think you're the worst person in the whole world." He's probably telling you something like, "Oh, you'll never do it again." The fact is, you've probably done it 25 times before now. That's what the devil tells us. And then we wind back up in the same awful predicament that we were before. It's horrible when you think about it. So just remember, repentance is just not about, I feel bad about this. It's about turning toward God. Let me give you the second thing that we're going to be looking at, focusing on here today. And here it is. Just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. Now, I said, and we've all said, I hope in agreement this morning, failure is an event, it's not a person. You are not a failure. I want you to understand that. In fact, everyone say that with me today. I am not a failure. Amen. You are God's. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, repented of your sin, you're his child, you're his heir, and he still has this great purpose for you. Samson realized this right at the end of his life. In the end of verse 25, it says, and they stationed him between two pillars. Now, just picture this. He's in this predicament, awful predicament. They're making fun of him. No eyes, no strength that he had before. And he says to the little lad, he says, you know what, hey, put my hands against the pillar that I might hold myself up. We find that in verse 26 and 27. Let me read this to you. Then he said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women, and the Lord of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women, on the roof watching Samson perform. So in other words, Samson, he's blown it 1,000 times. Here's the good news. He realizes he doesn't need 1,000 chances to make it right. He just needs one more time with God. One more chance just to find his mercy, to find his strength once more. Because, God, I don't want my life to end in humiliation. I don't want my life to end in weakness. I don't want my life to be looked back upon that is something wretched, miserable, and awful. I want to end my life in your strength. Maybe that's where you're at today. God may give you another 20 years, another 50 years. He may give you 1 month. But wouldn't you much rather die and go out in his strength than in your own weakness? Samson says, I want God's strength. I don't want this weakness and shame that I brought to myself. He's at the lowest point. Massive public humiliation. Nobody respects him anymore. Nobody loves him. Nobody's even believing in this guy. They're laughing at him. And he simply says, you know, I've blown it. I can't undo what I've done. I can't go back in time. But I can repent. I can turn toward you. And this time I will be used of you. I think in our sanctified imagination, we can sort of imagine Samson's prayer. Samson's saying, you know, God, I've seen your power. I've seen what you can do. I've misused your power in the past. I've thrown away the grace and the mercy that you've given me in life. Lord, you forgive me for that woman at Timnah, and then you allowed me to get past these guys that I killed and all these other things. I know that you're stronger than their God. In fact, I know that you're the only living God. And Lord, if you will just give me this one last chance, I will use it for your glory, for your fame. You know what God did? Well, he answered that prayer with this unbelievable yes. You see, we serve a God, and listen to me very carefully, who never gives up on us. God doesn't give up on us. When a man or a woman is down and out, they're not really down and out if God's in the picture. They're not done for. They're not history. They're not finished. Why? Because our God is this God of second chances. He strengthens the weakened. He heals the sick. He frees the captives. In fact, God does his best work with people just like you and me who've blown it. Now, I'm telling you, folks, I've blown it. A few years back, if you'd seen me in the situation that I was in, you say he's arrogant, pompous, he's not willing to listen, not willing to learn. throw them away. I don't think anybody would say those things about me beside my wife today. And I say that tongue in cheek. See, even in our failure, God can still accomplish his purpose. He can do that. We learn from it. What was God's purpose in Samson's life? Well, he would deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. He wasn't happy with the way they were living, the Israelites, but he certainly wasn't happy with what the Philistines were doing as well. Look at verse 29 and 30. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said this, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed in his life at his death, the dead that he killed in his death were more than he had killed in his life. Now, his life's tragic. It could have been painted several different ways. But the canvas and the colors that Samson chose were the canvas and the colors that Samson chose to paint his life. But the great news is this. It's a powerful illustration that even in our failures, God can and still will use us. So you've messed up, it's not over. You can't go back and undo some things, but if you're not dead, you're not done yet. We're not going to put a fork in you. God will strengthen you if you repent and turn to him. So just quit doing this, guys and gals, this morning. Quit living in remorse. Quit saying, "I shouldn't have, I wish I hadn't, I wouldn't, I never will do that again, I'm just a mess, I'm never going to make anything out of my life." Don't say those things. We used to have a joke at Kroger when we see somebody laugh at them, you know, they would start doing that remorseful thing. Sound like Schlep Rock, was the guy on the Flintstones? Does anybody remember that name, Schlep? Bad Luck Schlep Rock, remember him? Any Flintstone fans out there, huh? It's on the Cartoon Network. You can probably check it out. But old Schlep Rock would walk around, "Oh, lousy, lousy, woo-woo. All the bad luck in the world." And there'd be this one guy, he was always quick with a joke. He'd say, "You're a mess. You're a mess. Everybody knows you're a mess." Well, you may feel that way, but listen, God is not done with you yet. So you can be a blessing to your family. You can be a leader. God can take the weakest person and do something magnificent. Let me show you something from Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verse 16. "For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." You may be down, but you're not out. You may have fallen seven times. Maybe you're on the 7,000th time, but it's time to rise again. It's time to shine again for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's all stand. Now let's just reach up on our head. All of us do this with me. Reach up on your head. Some of you can feel hair already there because you got hair. Let me tell you something. The hair has begun to grow for some of you today to make a difference in your life. So this morning, they're going to do a song titled "Slow Fade." I want us to listen to this song because it's a very powerful song, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to do an invitation. So you can go ahead and take your seat again, but listen to this song and see how it speaks to your heart. Thank you.
lance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go. It's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade. Black and white have turned to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made. Price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow
bow with me in prayer. Father, again, we thank you. Thank you that in your word you've made the wise choice to reveal the inconsistencies in humanity. And Father, we know in you there's no shadow of turning. There's no compromise. There's only truth and life and light. And we praise you for that. Today your word has been preached, Father, as best as I could preach it. I know, Father, that in the frailty of humanity, you have chosen to, Father, to preach to weak men strong things, to preach to foolish men wise things. So, Father, the strength is never in the pastor or the preacher, it's always in your word. And we simply ask, Lord, that it would go to its intended receiver and will not return void. I ask that during this invitation time that the Holy Spirit would be recognized by each and every person here. And whatever he is bidding them to do, that they will do that. Give them the strength and the courage for that. In the name that is above all other names, Jesus Christ, amen. Today is, at this moment, for this day, this is your time, this is your opportunity to respond to what's been preached today, what's been presented to you today. Maybe there's some tough things that have happened in your life. Things that you're really ashamed of. Listen, God loves you. God cares for you. And God stands ready to restore you. Would you let him do that today? Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to step forward to one of these aisles. If you're between one of the exit aisles or one of the rows here to come forward, just say simply to the person next to you, hey, I want to go forward today. And more than likely, they'll probably come up with you. If they're a member of this church, they'll come up and pray with you. I've got some things I want to pray about. I want to give over to the Lord today. Would you do that today? If you are not sure about your relationship with Christ, maybe you've blown it so badly you feel like, I don't even know that I'm a Christian. Why don't you come forward and settle that today? The Bible does teach that we can really mess up so bad we forget who our Father is. That can happen. Maybe it's just a matter of confessing and repenting. And you don't have to tell the counselor every sordid, rotten detail about it. Just come up and say, I've really blown it. Would you pray with me? I want to turn from this. Would you do that as we sing? Say a couple things as we finish up some prayers here. If you're out there thinking that you can live good enough to preclude yourself from some of the things that I've talked about this morning, some of the awful things that I've named and mentioned, my friend, you are gravely mistaken. There's not a man or woman in here that is not capable of the enemy coming to and causing you to do some dreadfully awful things. I want you to understand that. If you think you can do certain things to make your kids turn out a certain way, friend, you're kidding yourself. You're going to answer for yourself. You're responsible for yourself. So don't walk out here the same way that you walked in. If you need to repent of something, we have one more prayer. You get it right with God right now. Let's have one more prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your word. It's now able to, again, to make us wise in salvation. It's this lamp unto our feet. I pray that we all will move past remorse and move toward repentance, true repentance. Repentance that says, I've turned from the bad thing, I've turned toward God. For those who have come forward, we thank you for them. Pray, Father, that they will keep themselves close to you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. One more verse, please.
Just as I am.
Thank you so much for your attention today. Anything we need to share before we go? We have a baptism, yes. So let's just go ahead and be seated and do that. I got so